This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mick Delivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. And welcome back to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Henry May, all the way in Bogota, Colombia. He's on to help me preview the upcoming FA Cup match quarterfinal for Fulham against Manchester United at Old Trafford. It should be fun. Henry is a transplant from England, so he's going to be sharing his thoughts on what the cup means to him and also his thoughts on the match itself. Before I go on any further, as always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other Fulham supporters find us. Okay, Henry, listen, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this match. Tell everyone a little bit about you.
Sure. So I'm a lifelong Fulham fan. Grew up in Barnes, across the river, and you know, was a season ticket holder for many years. As we rose up the divisions and kind of got into the Europa League and everything that happened kind of in the noughties. In 2012, 2013, I moved to Colombia in South America, where I've been living here for 10 years now, working here, but still following Fulham avidly.
Well, let me ask you this before we talk about the cup. How difficult has it been to follow Fulham in Colombia?
Well, I think I'm the only Fulham fan in Colombia. I've yet to find, apart from the ones that I've started to kind of convert as I go, you know, like my wife's nephew and other people I've managed to convert along the way. But there aren't many Fulham fans here. But I will say that, you know, thanks to TV and thanks to being able to watch the games, like, and thanks to the time difference, actually, it's been, it's not too bad. I do get to watch most of the Fulham games and keep up with what's going on. And I've had Archie Reintutt, Fulham fan and journalist, pass through Colombia and watched a game with me. So that was fun. And of course, if any Fulham fans are down here, let me know and we'll meet up.
Okay, excellent. All right. So Henry, you just gave us a little bit of a background of yourself, but I want to focus on the cup. You and I were just talking a little bit off air, and I think this is a unique situation that has not happened. It's actually been a while since Fulham have been in this situation. And if you look at their history, obviously it hasn't happened as often as you'd like. So the question will be, what does it mean to you, Henry, to see Fulham move on in the cup and just the history of the FA Cup for you with Fulham?
Yeah, well, I think for any fan of a club in Fulham's category, and you can look back in the last decade or so at clubs that have won the FA Cup, clubs like Portsmouth and Wigan. The FA Cup represents the greatest chance of realistic glory that would truly mean something for the club. You know, it would mean more than the Carabao Cup. I'm sure that would be great as well. But to win the FA Cup, to get to the final of the FA Cup would be something truly special. We all know the stories of 1975. We've seen the images. We know about the Fulham song, Viva el Fulham, from that time. And so there is something very special about the FA Cup. And it's been a source of, I think, great frustration to loads of Fulham fans that we've frankly been rubbish in the FA Cup for the last 20 years. We really haven't done better than get to a couple of quarterfinals, I think, since 2002, 2003. Yeah, I mean, like, why not? Maybe this year could be our year. And, you know, it's a huge game. It's a massive, massive game for the club.
Well, what's interesting, I will tell you, my first cup match, believe it or not, was Fulham against Manchester United. And that's going back, I want to say, what was that, 2008, Henry, or 2009?
2008, maybe, when they had that brilliant team that beat us 4-0. Was it the 4-0
yes,
winner?
It was that one. Yes, yeah. It was that I match. Mean,
unbelievable team that took us apart that day. Yeah.
That was my introduction to Fulham in the FA Cup. And unfortunately, there hasn't been many moments. There were some good moments in the Cup since then. But that to me, again, that was my introduction to it. And yeah. Obviously, for me as a Fulham supporter, the other situation that really got me was obviously the Europa League. The Europa League was very special, but I understand as someone that has really looked into Fulham's past, and obviously English football really has understood the importance of the cup. I know it's not been emphasized as much as it once was, Henry, but I know as you were talking about, if Fulham were to get to a semifinal, dare I say a final, what that would mean to this club would be massive. It would be massive. It would be something that everyone wants to see. So I'm taking this match against Manchester United very seriously because history is actually on the line for Fulham to make some of their own.
Totally. And like you said, I think we all have memories of the FA Cup and memories of the games we went to that probably stand out above and beyond our memories of league games. I remember in one of the first seasons where I was a Fulham fan watching us play against non-league Lee RMI, a goalkeeper who played an absolute blinder and managed to hold us to a draw, I think, when we were in the second division. And I think that season we actually ended up playing Man United away in the fourth round, losing 1-0 to an Andy Cole goal. And so weirdly, Manchester United have been a bit of a bogey team for us in the FA Cup. I think we played them in 98, 2001, 2008, 2003, 2004 as well around then. So it's about time we had a change of luck against them. And I think it's not a bad time to be playing them.
I agree with that. And what is it with Fulham playing these Manchester clubs? I don't get it in the FA Cup. We've had the same thing with Manchester City. So it is due time. It is time that Fulham had some of their own luck. And I think that this is an excellent opportunity for Fulham to move on. I'm going to say that right now. We'll preview the match, but this is not a Manchester United club. I think that are unbeatable. I think they are beatable. So I think there's an opportunity here, even at Old Trafford, for Fulham to move on in the cup. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. But Henry, let's talk a little bit about Manchester United. What's interesting about them is I thought Fulham matched them and at times maybe outplayed them at Craven Cottage. Your thoughts on Manchester United?
Yeah, I think we should look at that game just before the World Cup when they came to Craven Cottage. And frankly, we outplayed them. I think we had a couple of great chances to win the game. Tim Ream had a header, I think, when it was 1-1, and we were really on top and dominant. And then, of course, they scored a last-minute breakaway winner. So I think, and Marco Silva's referenced that game today in his press conference. And I think that we'll go into the game with taking some confidence from that match and taking some confidence, of course, from the current status of Manchester United. I mean, they've just had a trip to Spain where they played quite a few of their first team regulars. They looked jaded against Southampton. They got battered by Liverpool, as we all know. So, and they're without Casemiro. So there are a few things in play that would suggest, although, you know, it's still Manchester United. They're still going to put out a strong team and be a very difficult team to beat. But there are a few things in play that may be in our favor.
Okay. And I'm glad that you just mentioned this player because Casemiro is out for this match. And I've heard so much talk about him being potentially the best defensive midfielder in the league this season. I would differ that it could potentially be João Paulinho. But if we look at Paulinho's loss to Fulham, and it's been glaring, Henry, is it fair for me to look at what Casemiro means to Manchester United, that that might be a more significant loss than people are giving it credit for?
Yeah, I think that it is a big loss. And I think Manchester United fans would openly say Casemiro's probably been, you know, in their top three players this season, been a driving force in kind of their resurgence. I would say Manchester United, as opposed to Fulham with Palhinha, Manchester United probably have better backup. They probably have a deeper squad, and, you know, Fred and McTominay and Bruno Fernandes. I mean, that's not a bad midfield.
No, they have answers.
They probably have a few more answers than we do. But the fact that Palhinha is coming back into the Fulham team and Casemiro is out of the Manchester United team, I think the Fulham team can be interested in gaining midfield dominance in the game.
And I think that's going to be key for this match at Old Trafford. Something else that I think is going to be key, Henry, as we look at key players for Fulham, I want to go to the presser today for Marco Silva. Some very good news. Willian's back. Obviously, Paulinho's back. Tom Cairney is back. This is all positive news, Henry. So when I saw the comments from Marco Silva and basically the way that this was presented to me, I could be wrong, and we'll talk about key players in just a second for Fulham. I think they're going to go for it. I would be surprised if Marco doesn't put out his strongest side here. But how encouraged are you that Willian's back? And then, of course, we have Paulinho back.
So I've got to be honest. I think if the news from the press conference today had been less positive and Willian was out and Cairney was out, I think I would have been a lot less confident going into the game, because Willian is vital to how we play, and the combinations down the left-hand side with Anthony Robinson are key to how we attack. And Tom Cairney was frankly unbelievable coming off the bench in the first half of the season and put in so many great performances, and actually had a pretty good game against Man United last time. So the fact that we're going up there pretty much full strength, also it shouldn't be underestimated that Mitro is playing better, looked to be kind of back to some kind of his old self, and now he's had another week of recovery. That I think, you know, the team is pretty much as strong as it can be, and it'll be fascinating to see if Silva goes with a full strength team. My gut feeling is he will. He's not going to let the chance of an FA Cup quarterfinal away at Man United and mess around playing Rodak or playing players that don't regularly play.
Okay, very good. I want to go back to you just mentioned a little bit, and I mentioned a little bit about Tom Cairney. And Tom Kearney's role, I think, has been bigger than some might think. I think they missed him a great deal, Henry. Obviously, Fulham have missed Paulinho. That's easy. You talked about missing Willian, especially in that last match, how that affected Fulham. But I don't think it can be underestimated how much they've missed that changeup, that calmness of Tom Cairney in this whole run. I think this is a factor on why Fulham have not been at their best lately. It's a combination of the other players' overall play. But I think Tom Cairney's miss has been undervalued, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I absolutely love Tom Cairney. Like, he's right up there. One of my favorite ever Fulham players. Just absolutely love the guy to bits. And he's class. And what's been great to see this season is his play's moved on another level. He seemed to come back for pre-season looking fitter and stronger and a bit more athletic and kind of ready for the challenge of the Premier League. And another case of a player that under Marco Silva has kind of has risen to the challenge and is playing to the top of his potential. He was a great option for us off the bench. And I'm sure he'll be on the bench again tomorrow. But when you bring Tom Cairney on 60, 65 minutes into game, you're 1-0 down or it's 1-1, you know that he's got a killer pass in him. You know that he's got a great shot in him. You know that he can influence the game. And he's very consistent. Like when Cairney gets on, he gets hold of the ball, starts moving it around, and kind of the team gets a new lease of life. So he could well be key for this game. And would there be anything sweeter than Tom Cairney knocking one into the top corner last minute, running off to the Fulham fans? That would just be a dream.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how does Fulham win this match? I don't want to concentrate on how Manchester United win this match. How does Fulham win this match? I'm going to look at the battle in central midfield. I think this is where Fulham can get some control of the match. But what do you think First of all, it's going to be the strategy of Marco Silva against Manchester United, and then I'll get your take. We'll then go forward to how you think Fulham can win it. What do you think will be Marco's strategy?
I think we've got to play to our strengths. So that's why I'm very interested to see if Willian starts down the left. Manor Solomon has been fantastic. However, I would say that link up between Willian and Robinson is pretty key to us. So I think we've got to focus on attacking down the left. If they're playing Wan-Bissaka at right back, I think that's an area of weakness for them. Okay. I think, as you said, the midfield battle will be key. And I also think Mitro has to be back to his kind of bullying physical self, putting himself about, winning challenges, holding onto the ball. Of course, we're going to be under pressure, so we're going to need Mitro to be able to hold onto it, to be able to bring others into play. You know, if Mitro plays well on Sunday, we're in business.
Totally agree with that. I want to go back and talk a little bit about Anthony Robinson. And being here in the United States, there's been criticism. I was actually listening to a show on SiriusXM FC, Henry, that was very critical of his play in the last match, a show called Counterattack. And I agree with it. I don't think he was playing well. You just brought up Willian. How much do you think the loss of Willian has affected the play of Robinson?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair point. I think there was, you know, football is about rhythm, combinations, getting used to playing with each other, about developing partnerships on the pitch. The partnership between Robinson and Solomon is new, but Robinson and Willian, if we go back just a couple of months to how they played against Chelsea,
right?
You know, that combination was kind of the key to our success in that game. Robinson is a player in development. And I think it's pretty clear, I'm sure he would be aware of it, that his end product needs to improve. You know, his crossing ability, his level of assists, that's got to improve if he's going to make it and become a Champions League player. He's going to push on to the next level. So there is work to be done for Robinson. But I do think, like, when he's with Willian, there is just a bit of chemistry there. So yeah, I'd hope that Willian's fit enough to start.
Why do you think, and again, I'm just throwing it out there, and I'm glad that you talk about his passing. Why do you think his crossing is just not, say, at the level of Kenny Tete? It's just, It just seems to be a weakness that it's funny that they were talking about it on the show when he plays for the U.S. men's national team. They see it as well. So this isn't just limited to Fulham. Anthony Robinson has all of the physical attributes to be a fantastic fullback. Like you said, potentially a Champions League level fullback. So why has the crossing been his weakness, Henry? Is it just he depends so much on his physical attributes? I've always wondered this about him because I think it's there for him. I don't know why that hasn't caught up to the rest of his game.
Yeah, I do think that it could be the case of kind of athlete first and footballer second. And there's loads of cases of footballers who are very athletic, very quick, can bomb up and down, can win physical duels, can burst past people. But technically, with the ball at their feet is where they're not so good. I mean, Tom Kearney is maybe the opposite player, like unbelievable with the ball at his feet, very technical, can pick a pass, but lacks that speed over 10 yards that Anthony Robinson has. So I just think it's probably part of like how his game has developed. And hopefully he's still got room to grow and he can still improve there because like the ability to cross particularly often is kind of, it's a bit of hit and hope from Robinson. It's not often kind of directed or thoughtful. Whereas you can see Kenny Tete, like he's like, I'm whipping this one to the back post. I'm drilling this one across the floor. It kind of has a bit more design about how he crosses.
Even Cedric, in a very short period of time that I've watched him in Fulham, you could just see the crossing ability. Obviously, older player, more developed player. And I hope that he picks up some things from these players, Henry. And I just want to share this from Steve Reynolds because I've been the one that I was down on Robinson to begin the season. I think overall, he's played well. If you look over the course of the entire season, he's proved me wrong. But again, I'm just going to share this comment from Steve Reynolds. Jedi has been poor for the last few games. Does not track back quick enough. What are your thoughts about that? Is he bombing ahead too far and not getting back quick enough? Is that the problem? I've noticed it's been happening recently, but not in the beginning of the season. I thought his positioning was much better at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I feel like Robinson is one of those players that, you know, in every team there's a player that fans tend to get on the back of a bit quicker, and Robinson seems to be that player that, like, when things aren't going well, it's like, oh, it's right. Robinson's fault. If we actually look at the Arsenal game, we got murdered down the right hand side. Like, Kenny Tete got,
yeah,
for all the statistics from the season about not getting beaten, like, Kenny had a nightmare and gave away the third goal with a very loose throw in and stuff. So yeah, I think that Robinson has work to do. He's not the finished product. He can be a frustrating player, particularly with his end product. I think his recovery runs and getting back into position is generally pretty good, and he doesn't get caught out much for pace. I'd love to see more of is like him getting to the byline, looking up, finding Mitro, finding a player in the box, getting an assist on the board. I think that would be kind of the part of his game that I'd like to improve.
Okay, enough picking on Jedi. Let's move on from that. Let's now focus on, how does Fulham win this match? Henry, what do you think that they need to do to beat Manchester United and move on in the FA Cup, which we all want to see?
Well, we need to be at our best. We need to have a complete performance. We can't not turn up for 45 minutes like we did in the Arsenal game. We need to be on it from the start. I would say the first 15 or 20 minutes might be vital. Especially if Man United have just arrived back from Spain in the early hours this morning, you know, could there be a chance kind of to really attack them in the first 20, 25 minutes, get an early goal and hold into it? So I think the start of the match is going to be vital. And like I said, I think that playing to our strengths is going to be important. So playing into Mitro, enabling Mitro to bring other players into game, working combinations down the left, hopefully with Willian or with Solomon. I think working down the flanks as we have done, is that's how we've won games. And of course, keeping it tight. Like, we can't give away three goals in the first half. We've got to be organized, got to put bodies and throw bodies on the line. I think Diop's had a couple of games this season. Newcastle away springs to mind, where, you know, he just put his body on the line. It was just intercepting everything. We're going to need a couple of heroic performances at the back for sure.
Okay. Coming up next, Henry and I are going to share our starting 11, what we would like to do, and maybe we'll share what we think Marco's going to do, and we'll end with our predictions for this match.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, Henry, I'll give you first crack at this, and then after we're done, we'll share what we think Marco Silva is going to do with his starting 11. What would you do? What would be your starting 11 against Manchester United?
All guns blazing, strongest 11 possible, no messing around. Leno in goal, Tete, Diop and Ream, Robinson. I'd go for Palinha and Reed, just because they're more used to playing with each other. I think he might throw in Lukic, but I'd go Palinha and Reed, Andres Pereira in front of them. On the wings, I'd, like I said, Willian, I think, is key to how we play. And on the right, I'd start with Dekle Dover-Reed to have Solomon off the bench, where he's been super effective. And then, of course, Mitro up front. And okay. Kenny to come off the bench.
Okay, so you pretty much stole my thunder here, because I was going to go with this. I want to go back and talk about, say, Diop and Ream, right? Why do you think Marco went with Tosin and Ream in the last match? I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I've still been trying to figure out why he made that change.
A couple of games when he's gone to Tosin, and I think that it might be to do when he perceives that there's great pace in the other team. And I think Tosin is a little bit faster than Diop. That might be the only reason where he thinks that Tosin has better recovery pace. As players, they're fairly similar, dominant in the air. You know, they make some good progressive yards, carrying the ball up, reasonable passing, dangerous in the opposition box. I think it might be to do with pace. And so if Man United are going to be playing Weghorst, as probably expected, as they have been recently as the centre forward, I'd be more inclined to go with Diop. And I think Diop's, frankly, a better central defender as well, and has a better partnership going with Ream.
See, that's where I'm going on this. It's funny, Henry, because at one point I was all about playing Diop and Tosin together as potentially the future center back pairing, but I'm now all about Diop and Ream. Tim Ream has won me over because I didn't think that Tim Ream had it in him to give the type of performances he has this season. It's weird to say this, and I'm curious your view on this because, again, we're talking about starting 11. Did you see this coming from Tim Ream? Because I know I didn't, and I actually think he could do this for at least another season. I could be wrong, but I see the fact that he reads the game so well, and I know that his athletic ability can limit him, especially with his pace. I think this can be made up, and I think we've seen it time and time again with his mind. And also, I think you have to point out that we have Paulinha helping out as well. But what are your thoughts about why Ream has shown up so well this season?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with your comments about Ream is able to make up for what he lacks in pace through speed of thought, anticipation, and just and reading the game well. The resurgence of Tim Ream this season has been just one of the great stories, not just of the Fulham team, but I think of the Premier League. I mean, it's unbelievable that Tim Ream is frankly, you know, one of the league's top defenders this year. And he deserves huge credit for coming back from, you know, being benched in our last season in the Premier League. And frankly, I didn't believe that he was going to be a starting centre-back this season. A very few Fulham fans did. It's been remarkable. I think it comes down to Ream's maturity. Like, Ream's got a very, very wise head on his shoulders. He stays calm under fire. And I think he probably applies that not just on the pitch during the game, but also in how he prepares and how he analyses the game. Tim Ream is like a smart guy. And I think that comes across in how he's approaching life and how he's approaching his football. And it's just remarkable. And like right now, yeah, of course, like he could go on for another year. Why not? I mean,
why not? Right.
There's no evidence to suggest otherwise. He's getting better. He's getting better with age.
It's crazy to say that he's actually getting better. And I've actually seen it. And to the point where I'm actually saying this, Henry, because Anthony Robinson and Tim Ream will be playing for the U.S. men's national team in the international break. And I don't want either one to play. You know, that's just the way I'm viewing it, especially Tim Ream, because I want him to be fresh for the rest of the mm-hmm. season. And he's just been a revelation. It's just been unbelievable. And a proven point now. It's funny because I've seen it over here with other sports that we say that players can't get better when they get older. That's not exactly true anymore because, as you know, again, I'm bringing up another sport, Tom Brady would say when he got older, when he started playing at the end of his career, that he now has all the answers to the test. Why wouldn't he want to continue to play? Because of his mind. I think Tim Ream is the same way, Henry. He has all the answers now.
Yeah. I mean, and why not dream of that World Cup? I mean, I'm sure he must have one eye on it. Look at Joaquin playing for Real Betis. He's 41 and, you know, he almost scored a worldie against Man United the other day. I mean, we're going, as sports science evolves at the pace it is, we're going to see players extend their career, and particularly players in positions like Tim Ream's career at the back, where it doesn't require, you know, he doesn't need to be running, you know, 15 kilometers every single game. You know, he can manage the game with his head and being in the right place at the right time by making good decisions. It's not just about pure brute speed or physical force. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I'm pretty sure in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to see more cases of players blossoming in their 30s, getting better, because that level of maturity that comes with age can only come with age. Very few players get that gifted or, you know, when they're 18 or 19, understand the game the same way a 35-year-old might.
Right. And it's funny because we always looked at goalkeepers that can go into their late 30s and early 40s in some cases. And someone brought this up to me recently. Why can't that be the same with center backs? And I'm thinking maybe it can. Maybe we're not looking at that situation to evolve. And maybe Tim Ream is now, along with some other players, some other center backs being able to do that. It's actually encouraging because I would like to see these players play later in their careers if they can use their mind, where their mind makes up for the difference from their athletic abilities going down a little bit. Yeah. I say why not, Henry?
Why not? If Tim Ream continues to play how he is, I mean, how are you going to take him out of the team? I mean, he's got to stay in the team, and he's got his contract extension, so he's going to be with us for another year at least. And yeah, long may it continue. It's a spectacular story. And you know, what a great inspiration to have in the club and for other players to be around. For someone like Tom Kearney, who's a few years younger than Tim Ream, looking at Tim Ream and going, hey, like, he's still going and he's getting better.
Why can't
like,
I continue like, to? Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to share this comment from Kamal. He says, defend, defend, counterattack and defend. Could be victory. It would be a relief to see more direct routes to goal rather than looking for set plays from the wing. Our most amazing goals are from direct attack. William, Manor, Pereira, Paulinha. It's going to be exciting. Your thoughts, Henry?
Yeah, I mean, Kamal makes a good point. It's going to be a game probably of defend, 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 counterattack, and being effective on those counterattacks. And we have got a few players in our team that are capable of scoring unbelievable goals. So, you know, players that can win you a game on the counterattack, like Solomon did against Brighton, or players that can come up with a moment of brilliance, Paulinho against Leeds, Willian against Forest. And it may well come down. It probably will come down to a couple of moments on either side. You know, probably come down to a Leno save and one of the Fulham players, you know, having an opportunity. Can we take it? These games tend to be pretty tight. So, yeah, it could well come down to a moment of individual brilliance.
Okay. This goes back to how we started the show talking about the importance of the cup. This is from Val. I remember being at Villa Park in 1958. I was 13. My grandfather took me first game. We drew 2-2. Bobby Charlton scored two for them. We lost the semifinal replay 5-3. I hope we can get a result. Everyone must be at top of their game. No carrying a player. All 11 must be up for it. Okay, this is from Val. And Val, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, Henry.
Yeah, totally. And thanks for sharing that, Val. You also reminded me of a wonderful FA Cup memory that some of our younger fans will have, which was from 1998, when we were top of the second division and we played Villa, who were top of the Premier League. And we went to Villa Park and beat them 2-0 in the third round. I think goals from Steve Haywood and Simon Morgan. And I remember that the next day buying all the newspapers and cutting out all the newspaper cuttings and sticking them up on my wall. Like, it was a big deal, that victory at Villa Park. So yeah, the FA Cup is full of these magical moments that stick in the mind, and Sunday is set up to be one of them. You know, it could well be one of those memorable, magical Fulham days that we're talking about for decades to come.
I hope so, Henry. I hope so. Well, that's going to lead to us finishing up the show with your prediction. Give me your prediction. And if you're watching live, feel free to share your prediction as well.
So my prediction, I'm going to play a little bit safe. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go for a hard fought 1-1 draw that we're pretty happy with and gets us to take United back to the Cottage. I made a massive mistake. There are no draws. It's going to be a draw. It's going to go to penalties, and we're going to win it on penalties.
Oh.
With Leno recently called up, celebrating his recall to the Germany squad by saving the fifth penalty to send us through.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with, and I can't believe I'm doing this, I'm going with a Fulham victory, and I'm going to join you by saying they're going to win on penalties. I'm going to say it too. I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I don't know if my heart can stomach it, but I'm going to go with you. I think that Fulham are going to find a way to move on in the FA Cup. I just have a good feeling about this. I think that this is the best opportunity they've had in I don't know how long to get a chance to get to Wembley. And then once you get to Wembley, anything can happen, Henry. Anything can happen at that point. Who's to say they can't win the whole thing? They just need to get past Manchester United. And I'm going to say that they're going to. So that's going to be my prediction. I'm going to share some predictions. This is from my friend Chris, who happens to be a Liverpool supporter. I'm still sticking with the prediction, man. United, nil, Fulham. He's going back to his thing with Liverpool. They are there for the taking. Okay. Thank you, Chris. Thank you for that. Wayne Walden's going 3-1. Kamal's going 1-1. Agreed. One on penalties. What is it with us agreeing on that? We've had our Root and Zhao back. Chris Mullins draw 1-1, 90 minutes. We'll nick it in extra time. I'll take that rather than go to penalties. Okay, very good. Yeah.
The one other thing that I would mention, Russ, which is about the importance of the FA Cup, particularly for expats or for Fulham fans that live abroad, is you know, I think in every house of an expat, there's a little kind of emergency glass, and it says you can break this glass and you can buy a ticket to fly back to London only when Fulham are in a major cup final. Right. And I've certainly got that in my house. I speak about my wife. My wife knows if we get to the FA Cup final, I'm going. Like, and I'm sure that if we were to get to the FA Cup final, loads of Fulham fans from around the world, that would be the, you know, the call would go out and off we go. We're all going to Wembley. We're not going to miss that. So I think it also has a special feeling for fans that live abroad, because it would be, of course, a time to fly home and to live the whole Wembley experience.
I've done the Wembley experience, and I got to tell you, it was extremely special. That championship final, that was still unbelievable for me. And I'll never forget that as long as I live. So it's funny,
Russ,
because
if we get to the FA Cup final, are you going to go?
Say you're it putting, me, on, you're need, putting me on the
we
spot,
need a commitment
my friend.
From you.
Okay, I'm not going to be, I'm not going to commit on that.
I'll pick you up on the way.
I will say that Emilio Danello has offered once again to have me stay with him in Wimbledon. I don't know if I can make that, but I would have to seriously think about it. So thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that. Okay, well, Henry, let's wrap this up. This is so much fun. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Any final thoughts before we go?
No, obviously to anyone that's going to Old Trafford, thank you for going, because I know it's a big effort to go up on a Sunday night with the cost of tickets and train strikes and everything else. And just the rest of Fulham fan base. I mean, these are the moments we live for. This is the big one, probably our biggest game since our last, since the White Wall at Wembley, arguably, you know, an opportunity to get to an FA Cup semi-final and have potentially a kind draw to get to the FA Cup final is just an unbelievable opportunity for us. So fingers crossed we can do it. Fingers crossed Marco takes it seriously. And fingers crossed the players know what it means to the fans.
Okay, and I'm there with you. And I know how special it would be. And the White Wall is something that I will never forget, Henry. I'll leave you with this, because you're making me think about when I come. Because I will tell you, I've been to AFC Championship games here in New England for the Patriots. I've been there, done that. I will tell you, the number one sporting event in my life was that match at Wembley. Nothing tops it. And it to this day, I am a huge fan of the New England Patriots. I've been to huge games. I've been to Red Sox games. I've been to all that. And I'm here to tell you, nothing beats that. So I understand the importance here. I totally do. And we'll see what happens. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to shock some people. And I think it would be great for Fulham, for their future, not just for this season, but I think it would also be good for momentum for next season. It might even attract other players to want to come to Fulham if they got to a final. So I think it's a really good situation if they can get to the semifinal, dare I say, then get to the final. We shall see what happens, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, please do subscribe on YouTube and Apple Podcasts. It does help other Fulham supporters find us. Well, that's going to do it for this episode. For my friend here, Henry May, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk, now part of the TalkSport Fan Network. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.